Blog Talk Radio.
From a mighty long way. Oh Lord, yeah, evidence shows that there were too many until members instead of unto members. Oh Lord, and Reverend Franklin, I'm with you until I disagree with you. Oh Lord, and Franklin, I'm with you until you hurt my feelings. Oh Lord, and I'm with you until you don't call my name. And
God bless you tonight. This is Crossroads with our ancestors tonight. The storm is passing over. That's a Mississippi. That's a Detroit mass choir singing "The Storm Is Passing Over." Tonight, I want to share with you, Brother Kenneth, I got your message. Brother Kenneth, I want to say to you, Mr. Bishop, you asked me to cross an over of your mother and your father. I feel that, Brother Kendall, they want you to remain in school, stay in New York, and your business will bloom. I say, if you got a, you want me to reach out to a loved one, press one on your phone, I'm going to do it quick, fast, in a hurry. I'm getting ready to go into my The Miracle of Jesus book. I'm getting ready to go into that. This is Mississippi Mass Choir. This is a Detroit Mass Choir. The storm passing over. And they can sing. Tonight, I got a few messages for a few people. Okay, Mary, I see you, your hand up. I don't know what Pearl hand up, but I got a message for Pearl's husband. And he told her to tell her, don't take nothing, be strict on them boys and make them do the right thing. Stop being soft. He came to me and told me to tell her that. Tell her, her son and grandson, don't bow down to them. She said, he said he worked too hard for you. He wants you to stand up and tell them what. So you try to be, you can't be easy with them because they got problems and their problem got to be solved. And you can't hide it because it's too dangerous. That's what your husband in the spirit world said to you. That's Pearl. Thank you, kind spirit. Now I want to say to you, every that called, and I got a message, Net. I got a message for you, Net. And they said that if you practice your healing, your body be healed. And I pick up Des. Des was walking back and forth. And she said, what's happening to my family, Bishop? I said, I don't know, Des. You tell them to get on the ball, all of them. Okay, I tell them personally, thank you. Tonight is crossover with our ancestors. I say, the ancestors is your great grandma and your great father. Now, I came to the ancestors. This is what they said to me. They said, stop saying you're Afro-American. You're not an Afro-American. You're Native American. That means that you are here in America. You don't know nothing about no Africa. You know, that's the biggest trick that we are African. No, I'm Native American. I was born here in America. Your mama was born in America. Your granddad was born in America. Your great born in America. They picked cotton in Mississippi. Sugar cane in Louisiana, falcon in Virginia, corn in Illinois, and beans. So you are a Native American, not Afro-American. Little girl told me, I'll tell you putting on the dashiki. Take the dashiki off and get you a suit to put on and dress up. Because you don't know nothing about no Africa. When somebody told you what you done read, it's about being in America. I said, the ancestors told me to tell you that. I'm praying tonight for you, and you. If you got a need, plant a seed. Go to my website, theseedofabraham.com, and plant that seed of that tithe, that what you want. And I believe it's harvest time. I believe that it's time to plant the seed for your harvest to grow. The answer is a bishop. Give them the word and let it fall where it falls. You got to make up your mind that you are the man and the woman that God put here in America. If God wants you to stay in Africa, you'd have been in Africa. God got you him. And they just trick you. I'm Afro-American. I'm not Afro-American. I'm Native America of Chicago, of Detroit, of California. You Native America. That means that you brought in. If I care, all of you listening, I care you to Africa, you're lost. Okay? Because you know about Chicago, Detroit, California, New York. You don't know about no Africa. But that's the trick. That's the trick that they try to trick us. But I want you to get away from the trick and get ready for the blessing that God got for you, and the door will open up for you. And whatever you need, God got. What you need, God got what you want. I hope Mary 20, Psalms, let her read that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I want to tell you I'll be in Detroit for May. If you want to see me, call Mary, call Dr. Critton, I'll be in Detroit. But I want to say this to you tonight. I got this book called The Miracle of Jesus. I'm going to go into it tonight. Get your pencil and paper. Get your Bible. Open your Bible up to St. Luke. We're going to do the miracle of Jesus tonight. And I'm going to let you know I'm giving prophecy out tonight. And I'm giving ancestors talking tonight. Frank, I want to tell you, Frank, Ross had told me to tell you, see about the property. The tax got to be paid on the property. Go see about your property. It's family property for you to see about it. And Rosie is your mother in the spirit world. So let me tell you, take time out and go see about the land, because the land is family land. Mary Hawkins, you on the line. You can read 23rd number sampler. But by the way, when I pick up, your mother come to me and said that you got lots of work to do this year. Got two new grandbabies coming in the world. Thank you. You got one person, they're going to tell you they're going to get married. And when they tell you, you said, Bishop already told me. Your ancestor, your mama, and told me, said, about time. Okay, you can read 23rd number of Psalms.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He making me to lie down in green pastures. He leading me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leading me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anoint my head with oil, my cup running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Thank you for that, Mary. I want to say to you, God bless you. When Mary was reading to the 23rd on Psalm, Helen, I want to tell you right there, I want to tell Helen, I'm talking to you. That's death, Helen, when they come around you. I don't know. I don't know, but it's a death. When she was reading, that's Helen. Helen in Arkansas, in Little Rock, that's a death coming around you. Eugene, I want to tell you, you got to go to Washington, D.C., to Detroit, and see about some property and some land. And if somebody's real sick, and this is a young person. Joe, your ancestor, I guess this is your brother saying, drive slower, and this year, stay off the motorbike. Stay off of the motorbike. Thank you, Karen. Psalms, I want to look at Luke 7 and 11. St. Luke 7 and 11. Jesus was passing by the woman's son had died. And Jesus spoke. And I'm going to talk about tonight the miracles of Jesus. Now, I want to tell you, I share the ancestor. I want to tell you, Carolyn, you called me, and I want to tell you what I see. Carolyn, I just feel for you that you're crying about your sister. And I want to tell you, Carolyn, your sister said she's all right. Get on with your life. It's a young man in the vibration. His wife died, and he can't move on. It's a gift coming to you, young man. And I want to tell you, it's another level open up for you, I shall say. Get ready as I cross over the answer tonight. I want to tell you, everyone that ain't got you need to call me and get it. The book called The Miracles of Jesus. When you order my book, The Miracles of Jesus, what I'm going to do, I'm going to put a prophecy for you. When you said, Bishop, send me the book, I'm going to put a prophecy in there, and you receive the book, it's just for you. Plant a seed in our ministry. If you want to plant $1,000, $2,000, $500, and some of you need to replant a seed because you got things going on with you. And I want to tell you, I share my ancestors trying to let you know all is well. You got to know how to break the yoke and break the back of the devil. You see, things ain't working for you because you ain't decided that I'm going to plant this seed for my family. I'm going to plant this seed because I want my ancestors to visit me and be around me. You know, it's like this end. Let me pray. Father God, we come tonight, body, mind, soul, and spirit. We invoke our ancestors, I say, to come and heal and this. Somebody that I just got through praying for with their throat. Somebody seemed like they're having problems with their family member. And this young man is doing some negative stuff with this young lady. What God told me to tell you tonight, all is well. I go to the spirit world tonight and tell you all is well. And happy birthday to you, Regina. God bless you. I talked to you earlier. And all the birthdays today, tonight, the angel will come and visit you. But tonight I want to deal with the miracles. Jesus did so many miracles that people had to listen to him. And I want to tell you tonight, the miracle of Jesus lie with you. The power of the Holy Ghost lie with you. You ain't got to look nowhere. You got it. You ain't got to go to Africa or go to Egypt. You got it. It's in you, man. The healing power of God is in you through your ancestors. Now, when I want to talk about my grandmother, my great-grandmother, they are Native American. My grandmother used to tell me about her great-great-grandma. She didn't even know nothing about. And she used to tell me, she said, I'm here in America. I'm here in New Orleans. That's where I come from. Okay? What I'm telling you, Arkansas, Mississippi, Louisiana, most of you are Native Americans that don't know it. You know, the reason you so crossed up, you're trying to go to Africa, and you Native American right here in America. Your mama and your daddy picked cotton, corn right in Mississippi. Sugar cane in Louisiana, tobacco in Virginia. So stop trying to go to Africa because the guy told me, I'll trade you having that African attire. I got to go with me an African outfit. I don't want nothing from Africa. The white folks have stole everything from Africa anyway, the gold sink. I don't want nothing from there because I am Native American. Let me say it again. I'm Native American black. When you understand who you are, where you're supposed to be, you can move on. You know, reason they shoot and kill each other, they trying to go somewhere they don't need to go. The young boy that got killed over there in Michigan, he had just come from Africa. He didn't know the way he could even speak English. Now, he is an African come to America. But I didn't come from Africa. I was already him. So I'm going to tell you, some of you are American. Native American. Stop hollering, I have Africa. Now, you said, Bishop said, and I back it up, I'm Native American. Once you understand that, things gonna, and more people going to look at you different. You know something? Because you've been here, you've been through the storm, been through the flood, been through the riot. What do you think, Dr. King? Dr. King was a Native American. He was him. And he taught the justice and civil rights. Malcolm. All of them were killed for Native America. And they were trying to make it better. Marcus Garvey, they run him out of town. Kill Malcolm, kill Dr. King. But the spirit of Dr. King, the spirit of Malcolm, and the spirit of all our ancestors now is right here, uplifting us. And I want to tell Biden and Washington, give us our reparations. what you owe us. Well, we can have business. Like other people come in and get recognized. I want to say this. Keep wearing your mask because this stuff ain't over. The vice president, he got the COVID again. He took 2 shots and 2 boosters. So wear your mask. Thank you, kind spirit. I want you to get ready, get your Bible. Some of you need to call me for private consultations. I'm not going to put your business all over the world. You need to call where you can get what's going on for you. Turn your Bible. Let me put down the miracles of Jesus. Let me say it again. The miracles of Jesus. And I want to deal with the miracles of Jesus. But I want you this year, if you got a need to plant a seed, when you plant that seed, bam, things start working. It's seed time. Harvest coming up. Whatever you need, I'm praying for somebody for that new job. You got your resume in. I want the people to look at it. I'm praying for somebody said, Bishop, I want a new job. You're going to get the new job. I'm praying for somebody being sick. I'm with all witchcraft and evil. Somebody, I'm praying for a young lady right now. She confused. Tell you you're going to be all right. Turn your Bible to St. Luke. We're going to start at St. Luke, the 4th chapter. And we're going to go through all down now.
Today, all the people started talking about Jesus and were amazed at the wonderful things he said. They kept on asking, isn't he Joseph's son? Jesus answered, you will certainly want to tell me this saying, doctor, first make yourself well. You will tell me to do the same things here in my own hometown that you heard I did in Capernaum. But you can be sure that no prophets are liked by the people of their own hometown. Once, during the time of Elijah, there was no rain for 3.5 years, and people everywhere were starving. There were many widows in Israel, but Elijah was sent only to a widow in the town of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. During the time of the prophet Elisha, many men in Israel had leprosy, but no one was healed except Naaman, who lived in Syria. When the people in the meeting place heard Jesus say this, they became so angry that they got up and threw him out of town. They dragged him to the edge of the cliff on which the town was built because they wanted to throw him down from there. But Jesus slipped through the crowd and got away. Jesus went to the town of Capernaum in Galilee and taught the people on the Sabbath. His teaching amazed them because he spoke with power. There in the Jewish meeting place was a man with an evil spirit. He yelled out, hey, Jesus of Nazareth, what do you want with us? Are you here to get rid of us? I know who you are. You are God's Holy One. Jesus ordered the evil spirit to be quiet and come out. The demon threw the man to the ground in front of everyone and left without harming him. They all were amazed and kept saying to each other, what kind of teaching is this? He has power to order evil spirits out of people. News about Jesus spread all over that part of the country. Jesus left the meeting place and went to Simon's home. When Jesus got there, he was told that Simon's mother-in-law was sick with a high fever. So Jesus went over to her and ordered the fever to go away. Right then, she was able to get up and serve them. After the sun had set, people with all kinds of diseases were brought to Jesus. He put his hands on each one of them and healed them. Demons went out of many people and shouted, you are the Son of God! But Jesus ordered the demons not to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. The next morning, Jesus went out to a place where he could be alone, and crowds came looking for him. When they found him, they tried to stop him from leaving. But Jesus said, people in other towns must hear the good news about God's kingdom. That's why I was sent. So he kept on preaching in the Jewish meeting places in Judea. Luke 5. Jesus was standing on the shore of Lake Gennesaret, teaching the people as they crowded around him to hear God's message. Near the shore, he saw two boats left there by some fishermen who had gone to wash their nets. Jesus got into the boat that belonged to Simon and asked him to row it out a little way from the shore. Then Jesus sat down in the boat to teach the crowd. When Jesus had finished speaking, he told Simon, "Row the boat out into the deep water and let your nets down to catch some fish."
"Master," Simon answered, "we have worked hard all night long and have not caught a thing. But if you tell me to, I will let the nets down."
They did it and caught so many fish that their nets began ripping apart. Then they signaled for their partners in the other boat to come and help them. The men came, and together they filled the two boats so full that they both began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this happen, he kneeled down in front of Jesus and said,
"Lord, don't come near me. I am a sinner."
Peter and everyone with him were completely surprised at all the fish they had caught. His partners James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were surprised too. Jesus told Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will bring in people instead of fish." The men pulled their boats up on the shore. Then they left everything and went with Jesus. Jesus came to a town where there was a man who had leprosy. When the man saw Jesus, he kneeled down to the ground in front of Jesus and begged,
"Lord, you have the power to make me well, if only you wanted to."
Jesus put his hand on him and said, "I do want to. Now you are well." At once the man's leprosy disappeared. Jesus told him, "Don't tell anyone about this, but go and show yourself to the priest. Then take a gift to the temple, just as Moses commanded, and everyone will know that you have been healed." News about Jesus kept spreading. Large crowds came to listen to him teach and to be healed of their diseases. But Jesus would often go to some place where he could be alone and pray. One day, some Pharisees and experts in the law of Moses sat listening to Jesus teach. They had come from every village in Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. God had given Jesus the power to heal the sick, and some people came carrying a crippled man on a mat. They tried to take him inside the house and put him in front of Jesus, but because of the crowd, they could not get into Jesus. So they went up on the roof, where they removed some tiles and let the mat down in the middle of the room. When Jesus saw how much faith they had, he said to the crippled man, "My friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the experts began arguing,
"Jesus must think he is God. Only God can forgive sins."
Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he said,
"Why are you thinking that? Is it easier for me to tell this crippled man that his sins are forgiven, or to tell him to get up and walk? But now you will see that the Son of Man has the right to forgive sins here on earth."
Jesus then said to the man,
"Get up, pick up your mat, and walk home."
At once the man stood up in front of everyone. He picked up his mat and went home, giving thanks to God. Everyone was amazed and praised God. What they saw surprised them, and they said,
"We have seen a great miracle today."
Later, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the place for paying taxes. Jesus said to him,
"Come with me."
Levi left everything and went with Jesus. In his home, Levi gave a big dinner for Jesus. Many tax collectors and other guests were also there. The Pharisees and some of their teachers of the law of Moses grumbled to Jesus' disciples,
"Why do you eat and drink with those tax collectors and other sinners?"
Jesus answered,
"Healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. I didn't come to invite good people to turn to God. I came to invite sinners."
Some people said to Jesus,
"John's followers often pray and go without eating, and so do the followers of the Pharisees. Your disciples never go without eating or drinking."
Jesus told them,
"The friends of a bridegroom don't go without eating while he is still with them. But the time will come when he will be taken from them. Then they will go without eating. Jesus then told them these sayings. No one uses a new piece of cloth to patch old clothes. The patch would shrink and make the hole even bigger. No one pours new wine into old wineskins. The new wine would swell and burst the old skins. Then the wine would be lost, and the skins would be ruined. New wine must be put only into new wineskins. No one wants new wine after drinking old wine. They say, the old wine is better. Luke 6. One Sabbath, when Jesus and his disciples were walking through some wheat fields, the disciples picked some wheat. They rubbed the husks off with their hands and started eating the grain. Some Pharisees said,
why are you picking grain on the Sabbath? You're not supposed to do that.
Jesus answered, you surely have read what David did when he and his followers were hungry. He went into the house of God and took the sacred loaves of bread that only priests were supposed to eat. He not only ate some himself, but even gave some to his followers. Jesus finished by saying, the Son of Man is Lord over the Sabbath. On another Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in a Jewish meeting place, and a man with a crippled right hand was there. Some Pharisees and teachers of the law of Moses kept watching Jesus to see if he would heal the man. They did this because they wanted to accuse Jesus of doing something wrong. Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he told the man to stand up where everyone could see him, and the man stood up. Then Jesus asked the people, on the Sabbath, should we do good deeds or evil deeds? Should we save someone's life or destroy it? After he had looked around at everyone, he told the man, stretch out your hand. He did, and his bad hand became completely well. The teachers and the Pharisees were furious and started saying to each other, what can we do about Jesus? About that time, Jesus went off to a mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night there. The next morning, he called his disciples together and chose 12 of them to be his apostles. One was Simon, and Jesus named him Peter. Another was Andrew, Peter's brother. There were also James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus. The rest of the apostles were Simon, known as the Eager One, Jude, who was the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed Jesus. Jesus and his apostles went down from the mountain and came to some flat, level ground. Many other disciples were there to meet him. Large crowds of people from all over Judea, Jerusalem, and the coastal cities of Tyre and Sidon were there too. These people had come to listen to Jesus and to be healed of their diseases. All who were troubled by evil spirits were also healed. Everyone was trying to touch Jesus because power was going out from him and healing them all. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, God will bless you people who are poor. His kingdom belongs to you. God will bless you hungry people. You will have plenty to eat. God will bless you people who are crying. You will laugh. God will bless you when others hate you and won't have anything to do with you. God will bless you when people insult you and say cruel things about you, all because you are a follower of the Son of Man. Long ago, your own people did these same things to the prophets. So when this happens to you, be happy and jump for joy. You will have a great reward in heaven. But you rich people are in for trouble. You have already had an easy life. You wealthy people are in for trouble. You will go hungry. You people who are laughing now are in for trouble. You are going to cry and weep. You are in for trouble when everyone says good things about you. That is what your own people said about those prophets who told lies. This is what I say to all who will listen to me. Love your enemies and be good to everyone who hates you. Ask God to bless anyone who curses you. And pray for everyone who is cruel to you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, don't stop that person from slapping you on the other cheek. If someone wants to take your coat, don't try to keep back your shirt. Give to everyone who asks, and don't ask people to return what they have taken from you. Treat others just as you want to be treated. If you love only someone who loves you, will God praise you for that? Even sinners love people who love them. If you are kind only to someone who is kind to you, will God be pleased with you for that? Even sinners are kind to people who are kind to them. If you lend money only to someone you think will pay you back, will God be pleased with you for that? Even sinners lend to sinners because they think they will get it all back. But love your enemies and be good to them. Lend without expecting to be paid back. Then you will get a great reward, and you will be the true children of God in heaven. He is good even to people who are unthankful and cruel. Have pity on others, just as your Father has pity on you. Jesus said, "Don't judge others, and God will not judge you. Don't be hard on others, and God will not be hard on you. Forgive others, and God will forgive you. If you give to others, you will be given a full amount in return. It will be packed down, shaken together, and spilling over into your lap. The way you treat others is the way you will be treated." Jesus also used some sayings as he spoke to the people. He said, "Can one blind person lead another blind person? Won't they both fall into a ditch? Are students better than their teacher? But when they are fully trained, they will be like their teacher. You can see the speck in your friend's eye, but you don't notice the log in your own eye. How can you say, 'My friend, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when you don't see the log in your own eye? You show-offs, first get the log out of your own eye, then you can see how to take the speck out of your friend's eye. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. You can tell what a tree is like by the fruit it produces. You cannot pick figs or grapes from thorn bushes. Good people do good things because of the good in their hearts. Bad people do bad things because of the evil in their hearts. Your words show what is in your hearts. Why do you keep on saying, 'I am your Lord,' when you refuse to do what I say? Anyone who comes and listens to me and obeys me is like someone who dug down deep and built a house on solid rock. When the flood came and the river rushed against the house, it was built so well that it didn't even shake. But anyone who hears what I say and doesn't obey me is like someone whose house was not built on solid rock. As soon as the river rushed against that house, it was smashed to pieces." After Jesus had finished teaching the people, he went to Capernaum. In that town, an army officer's servant was sick and about to die. The officer liked this servant very much, and when he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish leaders to ask him to come and heal the servant. The leaders went to Jesus and begged him to do something. They said, "This man deserves your help. He loves our nation and even built us a meeting place." So Jesus went with them. When Jesus was not far from the house, the officer sent some friends to tell him, "Lord, don't go to any trouble for me. I am not good enough for you to come into my house, and I am certainly not worthy to come to you. Just say the word, and my servant will get well. I have officers who give orders to me, and I have soldiers who take orders from me. I can say to one of them, 'Go,' and he goes. I can say to another, 'Come,' and he comes. I can say to my servant, 'Do this,' and he will do it." When Jesus heard this, he was so surprised that he turned and said to the crowd following him, "In all of Israel, I've never found anyone with this much faith." The officer's friends returned and found the servant well. Soon Jesus and his disciples were on their way to the town of Nain, and a big crowd was going along with them. As they came near the gate of the town, they saw people carrying out the body of a widow's only son. Many people from the town were walking along with her. When the Lord saw the woman, he felt sorry for her and said, "Don't cry." Jesus went over and touched the stretcher on which the people were carrying the dead boy. They stopped, and Jesus said, "Young man, get up." The boy sat up and began to speak. He Jesus then gave him back to his mother. Everyone was frightened and praised God. They said, "A great prophet is here with us. God has come to his people." News about Jesus spread all over Judea and everywhere else in that part of the country. John's followers told John everything that was being said about Jesus. So he sent two of them to ask the Lord, "Are you the one we should be looking for, or someone else?" When these messengers came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to ask, are you the one we should be looking for, or are we supposed to wait for someone else?" At that time, Jesus was healing many people who were sick or in pain or were troubled with evil spirits, and he was giving sight to a lot of blind people. Jesus said to the messengers sent by John, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. Blind people are now able to see, and the lame can walk. People who have leprosy are being healed, and the deaf can now hear. The dead are raised to life, and the poor are hearing the good news. God will bless everyone who does not reject me because of what I do." After John's messengers had gone, Jesus began speaking to the crowds about John. "What kind of person did you go out to the desert to see? Was he like tall grass blown about by the wind? What kind of man did you really go out to see? Was he someone dressed in fine clothes? People who wear expensive clothes and live in luxury are in the king's palace. What then did you go out to see? Was he a prophet? He certainly was. I tell you that he was more than a prophet. In the scriptures, God calls John his messenger and says, 'I am sending my messenger ahead of you to get things ready for you.' No one ever born on this earth is greater than John. But whoever is least important in God's kingdom is greater than John." Everyone had been listening to John. Even the tax collectors had obeyed God and had done what was right by letting John baptize them. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law of Moses refused to obey God and be baptized by John. Jesus went on to say, "What are you people like? What kind of people are you? You are like children sitting in the market and shouting to each other, 'We played the flute, but you would not dance. We sang a funeral song, but you would not cry.' John the Baptist did not go around eating and drinking, and you said, 'John has a demon in him.' But because the Son of Man goes around eating and drinking, you say, 'Jesus eats and drinks too much. He is even a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet, wisdom is shown to be right by what its followers do." A Pharisee invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to the Pharisee's home and got ready to eat. When a sinful woman in that town found out that Jesus was there, she bought an expensive bottle of perfume. Then she came and stood behind Jesus. She cried and started washing his feet with her tears and drying them with her hair. The woman kissed his feet and poured the perfume on them. The Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this and said to himself, "If this man really were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. He would know that she is a sinner." Jesus said to the Pharisee, "Simon, I have something to say to you."
"Teacher, what is it?"
Simon replied. Jesus told him, "Two people were in debt to a money lender. One of them owed him 500 silver coins, and the other owed him 50. Since neither of them could pay him back, the money lender said that they didn't have to pay him anything. Which one of them will like him more?" Simon answered,
"I suppose it would be the one who had owed more and didn't have to pay it back."
"You are right," Jesus said. He turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Have you noticed this woman? When I came into your home, you didn't give me any water so I could wash my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't even pour olive oil on my head, but she has poured expensive perfume on my feet. So I tell you that all her sins are forgiven, and that is why she has shown great love. But anyone who has been forgiven only a little will show only a little love."
Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven."
some other guests started saying to one another, "Who is this who dares to forgive sins?" But Jesus told the woman, "Because of your faith, you are now saved. May God give you peace." Luke 8. Soon after this, Jesus was going through towns and villages, telling the good news about God's kingdom. His 12 apostles were with him, and so were some women who had been healed of evil spirits and all sorts of diseases. One of the women was Mary Magdalene, who once had 7 demons in her. Joanna, Susanna, and many others had also used what they owned to help Jesus and his disciples. Joanna's husband, Cusa, was one of Herod's officials. When a large crowd from several towns had gathered around Jesus, he told them this story. A farmer went out to scatter seed in a field. While the farmer was doing it, some of the seeds fell along the road and were stepped on or eaten by birds. Other seeds fell on rocky ground and started growing, but the plants did not have enough water and soon dried up. Some other seeds fell where thorn bushes grew up and choked the plants. The rest of the seeds fell on good ground, where they grew and produced 100 times as many seeds. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said, "If you have ears, pay attention." Jesus' disciples asked him what the story meant, so he answered, "I have explained the secrets about God's kingdom to you, but for others I can only use stories. These people look, but they don't see, and they hear, but they don't understand. This is what the story means. The seed is God's message, and the seeds that fell along the road are the people who hear the message. But the devil comes and snatches the message out of their hearts so that they will not believe and be saved. The seeds that fell on rocky ground are the people who gladly hear the message and accept it, but they don't have deep roots, and they believe only for a little while. As soon as life gets hard, they give up. The seeds that fell among the thorn bushes are also people who hear the message, but they are so eager for riches and pleasures that they never produce anything. Those seeds that fell on good ground are the people who listen to the message and keep it in good and honest hearts. They last and produce a harvest. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl or under a bed. A lamp is always put on a lampstand, so that people who come into a house will see the light. There is nothing hidden that will not be found. There is no secret that will not be well known. Pay attention to how you listen. Everyone who has something will be given more, but people who have nothing will lose what little they think they have." Jesus' mother and brothers went to see him, but because of the crowd, they could not get near him. Someone told Jesus, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside and want to see you." Jesus answered, "My mother and my brothers are those people who hear and obey God's message." One day, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat, and he said, "Let's cross the lake." They started out, and while they were sailing across, he went to sleep. Suddenly, a windstorm struck the lake, and the boat started sinking. They were in danger. So they went to Jesus and woke him up.
"Master, Master, we are about to drown."
Jesus got up and ordered the wind and waves to stop. They obeyed, and everything was calm. Then Jesus asked the disciples, "Don't you have any faith?" And they were frightened and amazed. They said to each other, "Yes, this. He can give orders to the wind and the waves, and they obey him." Jesus and his disciples sailed across Lake Galilee and came to shore near the town of Gerasa. As Jesus was getting out of the boat, he was met by a man from that town. The man had demons in him. He had gone naked for a long time and no longer lived in a house, but in the graveyard. The man saw Jesus and screamed. He kneeled down in front of him and shouted,
"Jesus, Son of God in heaven, what do you want with me? I beg you not to torture me."
He said this because Jesus had already told the evil spirit to come out of him. The man had often been attacked by the demon, and even though he had been bound with chains and leg irons and kept under guard, he smashed whatever bound him.
Then the demon would force him out into lonely places. Jesus asked the man, "What is your name?" He answered,
"My name is Lot."
He said this because there were lots of demons in him. They begged Jesus not to send them to the deep pit where they would be punished. On the hillside not far from there, a large herd of pigs was feeding. So the demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and Jesus let them go. Then the demons left the man and went into the pigs. The whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. When the men taking care of the pigs saw this, they ran to spread the news in the town and on the farms. But people went out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they also found the man. The demons had gone out of him, and he was sitting there at the feet of Jesus. He had clothes on and was in his right mind, but the people were terrified. Then all who had seen the man healed told about it. Everyone from around Gerasa begged Jesus to leave because they were so frightened. When Jesus got into the boat to start back, the man who had been healed begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him off and said, "Go back home and tell everyone how much God has done for you." The man then went all over town, telling everything that Jesus had done for him. Everyone had been waiting for Jesus, and when he came back, a crowd was there to welcome him. Just then, the man in charge of the Jewish meeting place came and kneeled down in front of Jesus. His name was Jairus, and he begged Jesus to come to his home because his 12-year-old child was dying. She was his only daughter. While Jesus was on his way, people were crowding all around him. In the crowd was a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. She had spent everything she had on doctors, but none of them could make her well. As soon as she came up behind Jesus and barely touched his clothes, her bleeding stopped.
"Who touched me?"
Jesus asked. While everyone was denying it, Peter said,
"Master, people are crowding all around and pushing you from every side."
But Jesus answered,
"Someone touched me because I felt power going out from me."
The woman knew that she could not hide, so she came trembling and kneeled down in front of Jesus. She told everyone why she had touched him and that she had been healed right away. Jesus said to the woman,
"You are now well because of your faith. May God give you peace."
While Jesus was speaking, someone came from Jairus' home and said,
"Your daughter has died. Why bother the teacher anymore?"
When Jesus heard this, he told Jairus,
"Don't worry. Have faith and your daughter will get well."
Jesus went into the house, but he did not let anyone else go with him except Peter, John, James, and the girl's father and mother. Everyone was crying and weeping for the girl, but Jesus said,
"The child is not dead. She is just asleep."
But people laughed at him because they knew she was dead. Jesus took hold of the girl's hand and said,
"Child, get up."
She came back to life and got right up. Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were surprised, but Jesus ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Luke 9. Jesus called together his 12 apostles and gave them complete power over all demons and diseases. Then he sent them to tell about God's kingdom and to heal the sick. He told them,
"Don't take anything with you. Don't take a walking stick or a traveling bag or food or money or even a change of clothes. When you are welcomed into a home, stay there until you leave that town. If people won't welcome you, leave the town and shake the dust from your feet as a warning to them."
The apostles left and went from village to village, telling the good news and healing people everywhere. Herod the ruler heard about all that was happening, and he was worried. Some people were saying that John the Baptist had come back to life. Others were saying that Elijah had come, or that one of the prophets from long ago had come back to life. But Herod said,
"I had John's head cut off. Who is this I hear so much about?"
Herod was eager to meet Jesus. The
apostles came back and told Jesus everything they had done. He then took them with him to the village of Bethsaida, where they could be alone. But a lot of people found out about this and followed him. Jesus welcomed them. He spoke to them about God's kingdom and healed everyone who was sick. Late in the afternoon, the 12 apostles came to Jesus and said,
"Send the crowd to the villages and farms around here. They need to find a place to stay and something to eat. There is nothing in this place. It is like a desert."
Jesus answered, "You give them something to eat." But they replied, "We have only 5 small loaves of bread and 2 fish. If we're going to feed all these people, we will have to go and buy food." There were about 5,000 men in the crowd. Jesus said to his disciples, "Have the people sit in groups of 50. They did this, and all the people sat down. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up toward heaven and blessed the food. Then he broke the bread and fish and handed them to his disciples to give to the people. Everyone ate all they wanted. What was left over filled 12 baskets. When Jesus was alone praying, his disciples came to him and he asked them,
"What do people say about me?"
They answered,
"Some say that you are John the Baptist or Elijah or a prophet from long ago who has come back to life."
Jesus then asked them,
"But who do you say I am?"
Peter answered,
"You are the Messiah sent from God."
Jesus strictly warned his disciples not to tell anyone what had happened. Jesus told his disciples,
"The nation's leaders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law of Moses will make the Son of Man suffer terribly. They will reject him and kill him. But 3 days later, he will rise to life."
Then Jesus said to all the people,
"If any of you want to be my followers, you must forget about yourself. You must take up your cross each day and follow me. If you want to save your life, you will destroy it. But if you give up your life for me, you will save it. What will you gain if you own the whole world, but destroy yourself or waste your life? If you are ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of you when he comes in his glory and in the glory of his Father and the holy angels. You can be sure that some of the people standing here will not die before they see God's kingdom."
About 8 days later, Jesus took Peter, John, and James with him and went up on a mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed and his clothes became shining white. Suddenly Moses and Elijah were there speaking with him. They appeared in heavenly glory and talked about all that Jesus' death in Jerusalem would mean. Peter and the other 2 disciples had been sound asleep. All at once they woke up and saw how glorious Jesus was. They also saw the 2 men who were with him, Moses and Elijah. And Peter said to Jesus,
"Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah."
But Peter did not know what he was talking about. While Peter was still speaking, a shadow from a cloud passed over them, and they were frightened as the cloud covered them. From the cloud a voice spoke,
"This is my chosen son. Listen to what he says."
After he had spoken, Peter, John, and James saw only Jesus. For some time they kept quiet and did not say anything about what they had seen. The next day, Jesus and his 3 disciples came down from the mountain and were met by a large crowd. Just then, someone in the crowd shouted,
"Teacher, please do something for my son. He is my only child. A demon often attacks him and makes him scream. It shakes him until he foams at the mouth, and it won't leave him until it has completely worn the boy out. I begged your disciples to force out the demon, but they couldn't do it."
Jesus said to them,
"You people are stubborn and don't have any faith. How much longer can I be with you? Why do I have to put up with you?"
Then Jesus said to the man,
"Bring your son to me."
While the boy was being brought, the demon attacked him and made him shake all over. Jesus ordered the demon to stop. Then he healed the boy and gave him back to his father. Everyone was amazed at God's great power. While everyone was still amazed at what Jesus was doing, he said to his disciples,
"Pay close attention to what I am telling you. The Son of Man will be handed over to his enemies."
But the disciples did not know what he meant. The meaning was hidden from them. They could not understand it, and they were afraid to ask. Jesus' disciples were arguing about which one of them was the greatest. Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he had a child stand there beside him. Then he said to his disciples,
"When you welcome even a child because of me, you welcome me. And when you welcome me, you welcome the one who sent me. Whichever one of you is the most humble is the greatest."
John said,
"Master, we saw a man using your name to force demons out of people, but we told him to stop because he's not one of us."
"Don't stop him," Jesus said. "Anyone who is not against you is for you."
Not long before it was time for Jesus to be taken up to heaven, he made up his mind to go to Jerusalem. He sent some messengers on ahead to a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But he was on his way to Jerusalem, so the people there refused to welcome him. When the disciples James and John saw what was happening, they asked,
"Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy these people?"
But Jesus turned and corrected them for what they had said. Then they all went on to another village. Along the way, someone said to Jesus,
"I'll go anywhere with you."
Jesus said, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to call his own."
Jesus told someone else to come with him, but the man said,
"Lord, let me wait until I bury my father."
Jesus answered,
"Let the dead take care of the dead while you go and tell about God's kingdom."
Then someone said to Jesus,
"I want to go with you, Lord, but first let me go back and take care of things at home."
Jesus answered,
"Anyone who starts plowing and keeps looking back isn't worth a thing in God's kingdom."
Luke 10. Later, the Lord chose 72 other followers and sent them out two by two to every town and village where he was about to go. He said to them,
"A large crop is in the fields, but there are only a few workers. Ask the Lord in charge of the harvest to send out workers to bring it in. Now go, but remember, I am sending you like lambs into a pack of wolves. Don't take along a money bag or a traveling bag or sandals. And don't waste time greeting people on the road. As soon as you enter a home, say, 'God bless this home with peace.' If the people living are peace-loving, your prayer for peace will bless them. But if they are not peace-loving, your prayer will return to you. Stay with the same family, eating and drinking whatever they give you, because workers are worth what they earn. Don't move around from house to house. If the people of a town welcome you, eat whatever they offer you. Heal their sick and say, 'God's kingdom will soon be here.'